Speaking on this program is Curtis Cates.
Bildad's speech in chapter 18. He says, "Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out." In other words, Job, you're ranked wicked. You are so wicked until God is going to kill you. Notice verse 14. He shall be rooted out, that is the wicked, of his tent wherein he trusted. In other words, Job trusted in riches. All right? Now, there are two more speeches by Eliphaz and Bildad. Zophar's last speech is in chapter 20. Now, I want us to go over to chapter 23. And by chapter 23, Job has learned something. He knows that he has not committed the grievous sin to bring all these troubles upon himself. And so I want you to notice here in chapter 23, verse 10. "But God knoweth the way that I take." In other words, he's very much aware of what I'm going through. Job is a developing character. He learns as he goes on. He is growing. He is growing in righteousness. He is growing in maturity. He's growing in wisdom. He does think that God, and he accuses God of doing this to him, And he speaks without wisdom. And he's going to acknowledge that, and we'll notice that tomorrow evening. But I want you to notice here what he says, and he's learning something here. Chapter 23, verse 10. "But God knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." I don't know why God is testing me. I don't know why he is shooting his poison arrows in me. I do not know why he has taken away my children. I don't know why I have been stricken with this grievous disease. I don't know why my friends are piling on like they're doing. He thinks God has caused that, see. Actually, Satan has done it. But I want you to notice that he now realizes that he is being tested. "Job, why are you being tested?" "I don't know." It is very interesting that throughout this whole book, Job never realized, throughout the events of the whole book, Job never realized why he was enduring all of these things. He never learned about Satan. He never learned why they were coming upon him. But it is interesting that now, in chapter 23, he realizes that he's being tested. And he said, "When he shall put me in the crucible, in the fire, I shall come forth as gold." I'm not going to depart from God. I'm not going to turn my back on God. I'm not going to let these trials and persecutions and troubles discourage me to the point that I will turn my back on God. I'm going to be faithful no matter what happens. And what an encouragement that is when we undergo trials and difficulties and persecution. We don't know why sometimes. But Job, the book of Job teaches us that we don't know, have to know why, as long as we have God. All right, notice verse 11. "My foot hath held fast to his steps." In other words, I've walked in his steps. I've walked in the steps of the Lord. "His way have I kept and turned not aside. I have not gone back from the commandment of his lips." I have treasured up the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. In other words, I have meditated upon the law of the Lord day and night. And I have tried to obey God and be faithful to him. And I'm determined to be. I wish we had time to go further along that line. But let's go back and let us notice now what I believe is the Messiah in the book of Job. Go back to chapter 9. And in chapter 9, we find that he thinks that he cannot answer God one out of a thousand. Now notice how God is, how great God is. He praises God's greatness. He talks about God that removeth the mountains and they know it not. When he overturneth them in his anger. I think that may be a reference to the flood, which indicates that this book is an early book among other things. Notice that he shaketh the earth out of its place. He commandeth the sun and it riseth not, and so forth. Now, Job knows about constellations. Notice that alone stretcheth out the heavens. God created the heavens. He treadeth upon the waves of the sea. He maketh the bear, Orion, and the Pleiades, and the chambers of the south. These things are marvelous. Marvelous. But notice, I don't understand why he is angry at me. Verse 13. Notice verse 17. For he breaketh me with a tempest. He sends a storm upon me and multiplieth my wounds without cause. In other words, God is afflicting Job. All right? Though I be righteous, mine own mouth shall condemn me. Notice verse 20. I am being destroyed, even though I am righteous. Notice he says, verse 21, I am perfect, which means I am complete in God. I am without guilt. I didn't commit the grievous sin to bring this upon me. Job never claims to be sinlessly perfect. And yet he knows that he has not committed such sins as to bring this suffering upon him. I regard not myself, I despise my life. It is all one, therefore I say he destroyeth the perfect and the wicked. Naturally, the wicked out here who are doing those things that are wrong are going to be destroyed. But I've done those things that are right. Why am I being destroyed? All right? And so, how do I get back on the good side of God? Verse 30. If I washed myself with snow water, that's the cleanest thing that he could think of, and make my hands never so clean, yet would thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. How can I appear before Jehovah God? How can I plead with him? How can I answer his questions that he might have of me? You see, he is way up here. He's Jehovah God. And I'm way down here, his creature, a mere man. How can I approach Jehovah God and try to plead my case? Notice verse 32, for he is not a man as I am. He's not a human being like me, like I am, that I should answer him, that we should come together in judgment. Now, I want you to notice verse 33. There is no umpire. There is no daysman. This is the word in the Hebrew Goel, G-O-E-L, which means what? Mediator. Redeemer. Now remember that. There is no redeemer. There's no mediator. There's no umpire, the American Standard says. King James, daysman, that may lay his hand upon us both. All right? Now let's get the picture. Here's God exalted in heaven. Here's Job being destroyed. Here's Job, a mere human being. Now, how in the world does Job, able to approach Jehovah God and plead his case? And so he cries out. He cries out because there's no one who can lay his hand upon the shoulder of God and lay his hand upon Job's shoulder and reconcile them. Are you familiar with mediation? You have management and you have labor. And how do you get management and labor together? You have a mediator. One who can lay his hand upon management, one who can lay his hand upon labor and reconcile them, see? And so Job says, I have no one who can reconcile me to God, my Creator. Chapter 13. In chapter 13, he pleads with his friends who have been so much mistreating him and falsely accusing him to hold their peace. Let me alone that I may speak, and then come on and say what you will, he says to his friend. Why should I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in my hand? In other words, if I were to do wickedly, then I would deserve what I'm getting. But I'm not going to do that. Behold, God, He will slay me. I have no hope. Actually, it's Satan, but he thinks it's God. The fire of God, the fire from heaven, the fire of God came down, destroyed his sheep. And the whirlwind killed his 10 children. As far as he can tell, God is doing it. He was wrong. But anyway, he says, behold, God will slay me. I have no hope. You know, Satan said, take away his riches, he'll curse you to the face. Treat him with pain, he'll curse you to the face. Here he is, God is destroying him, killing him, he thinks. Now what's his attitude? Nevertheless, even if he kills me, I will maintain my ways before him. I'm not going to turn my back on God. No way. This also shall be my salvation, word from which we get the Savior, that a godless man, a man who's denied God, shall not come before him. Job realizes he's going to be judged by God in the last day. He's not going to stand before God having denied God. Now I want you to notice that he cries out for a Redeemer. Hear diligently my speech and let my declaration be in your ears. Behold, now I have set my cause in order. There have been some people that were told, you have a grievous disease. You need to set your house in order. You're going to die. Job thinks he's going to die. Therefore, he says, behold, now I have set my cause in order. I know that I'm righteous. I haven't committed the grievous sin to bring this upon me. And he hadn't. And then notice verse 19. Who is he who will contend with me? For then if I knew that, I'd go ahead and be willing to give up the ghost. There's going to be someone who's going to stand with me in the day of judgment, and who's going to defend me. It's the person that he didn't think he had in chapter 9. There's no umpire. There's no mediator. There's no goal. There's no redeemer. Now he cries out in chapter 13 for a redeemer. Turn over now to chapter 16. Oh, one of the most beautiful, beautiful scriptures in the whole Bible, in my opinion. He talks about how God is destroying him, he thinks. God delivereth me to the ungodly. Oh, that so much reminds me of Christ being delivered up to the ungodly sinners who crucified him. He casteth me into the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, and he brake me asunder. Yea, he hath taken me like a wrestler by the neck, and he has slammed me down on the ground and broken me into pieces. He has set me up for his mark. Verse 12, his archers compassed me round about. Notice verse 17. Well, verse 16, my face is red with weeping, constantly weeping. And on my eyelids is the shadow of death. If you've seen the person, you know, who is dying, his eyes become sunken in. Death is on Job's face. Although there is no violence in my hands. You remember when Christ was led as a sheep to the slaughter? But he was not violent, and my prayer is pure. O earth, cover not thou my blood, and let my cry have no resting place. You know, the first time that blood cried out for vindication? Genesis chapter 4, right? When Cain killed his innocent brother Abel, and God said to Cain, the blood of your brother crieth out for vengeance. And who was to take vengeance in the Old Testament? The next of kin. You see, they would see the blood when someone was killed, though innocent. They would see the innocent blood upon the ground, and they would have the evidence that he was killed, though he was innocent. And they would take vengeance, and they would avenge, and they would vindicate the cause of their kinsman who was killed. Job says, O earth, cover not thou my blood. Don't allow anything to cover my blood before my next of kin is able to see it and defend me. And let my cry for innocence, of innocence, have no resting place. Now I want you to notice verse 19. Even now, behold, my witness, the one who sees his innocent blood being shed, is being killed though he's innocent. Even now, behold, my witness is in heaven. He's an exalted witness. He is in heaven. He's God. What person in the Godhead is he? He that voucheth for me. He who's going to defend my innocency is in heaven. He's on high. Why, I can't depend on these fellas, Eliphaz, Bildad, and so far. They scoff at me. But mine eyes pour out tears unto God, that he, that is my next of kin, my witness, would maintain the right of a man, Job, with God, and a son of man, a fellow human being, with his neighbor, his kinsman. This person whom Job is crying out for to vindicate him and defend him on the day of judgment is God. He's in heaven. But he would also be man's brother. Chapter 19, and then the lesson is yours. Job talks about how bad off he is. And then he pleads, "Oh, that my words were written, that they were inscribed in a book, that they were graven in the rock with lead and pen, so that they would exist forever, defending his innocence." Now, he didn't know it, but this book here is going to exist throughout time and into eternity. He didn't know that. But he wanted something to defend his innocency. But then he cries out and says, "But as for me, I know that my Redeemer liveth." How much has he grown? In chapter 9, he didn't think he had a Redeemer. Same Hebrew word, goel. There is no goel between us that might lay his hand upon us both. Chapter 19, "But as for me, I know that my goel liveth, my Redeemer liveth, and at last he," my Redeemer, "will stand upon the earth." I think in the resurrection, when Christ was raised from the dead, he came forth triumphant and stood upon the earth. The avenger of blood, the one who defends the innocent, the one whose blood takes away the sins of the innocent, the righteous. And then he said, "And after my skin," American Standard, I think that's the correct translation, "even this body is destroyed. Then without my flesh," he'll have a changed body, "shall I see God." I'm going to look into the face of God, whom I, Job, shall see on my side. The American Standard margin says, "for myself." I shall see him for myself, personally, face to face, "and mine eyes shall behold him, but not as a stranger." Oh, God has been treating me as a stranger, but not in the last day. You know why not? Because Christ, who's the second person in the Godhead who took on flesh, because he was God, is God, he could lay his hand upon the shoulder of God. But because he also became man through the virgin birth, he was incarnate, God incarnate in the flesh, he was tempted in all points like as we are, right? Because he was man, he could lay his hand upon the shoulder of Job and the shoulder of each of us and reconcile us to God. That's marvelously beautiful. And what I think is the earliest book written in the Bible. Which we had time to go further and to discuss it more. But each one of us needs and must have a Redeemer. Job was a sinner, like the rest of us. And yet he didn't so sin as to bring this grievous destruction upon himself. But he was man, and he had to have a Redeemer. And you and I must be redeemed by the precious blood of the Son of God. And so if you want to obey the gospel and come in contact with the blood of Christ upon faith in Christ and repentance from sins, confessing of Christ as the Son of God, you can be baptized into the death of Christ where the blood of Christ was shed. Come in contact to His marvelous blood and have your sins washed away. And if we do that, we're added to the Lord's church. And if we will be faithful unto death, then heaven will be ours. You have listened so well. Thank you so much for being here in this study. Tomorrow evening we'll learn some more good things that are stated in the book of Job. We'll marvel at the power of Jehovah God and His creation and His wisdom. And then we will see how that Job was restored to his earlier place. In fact, everything was double that he had.